Isaiah 55, look down at your Bibles at verse number 6. It says here, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And the title of the sermon this morning is Closing the Gap. Closing the Gap. Now, this passage of Scripture is a fairly popular portion of Scripture, especially in the book of Isaiah, and it's often used as a remedy as to why good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people. You know, if you ever had a person who went through a trial, they went through a difficulty, and they don't necessarily know how to answer that difficulty or that trial, they'll often say, well, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. In other words, what they're saying is, you know, we don't know why God does certain things and he works in mysterious ways, so on and so forth. Now, this is a good application to this portion of Scripture. However, it's not the primary interpretation. You see, he's not saying there that, you know, that God's ways, that God works in mysterious ways, or that he does things a certain way, and maybe we may not ever understand why he does the things the way he does them. He's actually saying something different. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." Then he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What is he saying? He's saying, look, man's way is wicked. Man's thoughts are unrighteous. My ways are right. My thoughts are righteous. And guess what? There's a big gap between the two, is what he's saying. There's a very large distance. In fact, if you were to measure the distance between how you think and how God thinks, it's like as high as the heavens are from the earth. If we were to take a measuring stick and say, how different are our thoughts, our ways than God's ways, God says it's like the heavens are from the earth. That's how far it is. That's what he's stating there. He's saying that there is a major gap between their ways and God's ways, man's thoughts and God's thoughts. And look, this is a theme that we see throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And what this passage of Scripture is doing is basically saying this: hey, we need to close that gap. There's a gap between our thoughts, God's thoughts, our ways, his ways. And what we need to do as Christians is close that gap. Now, how do we do that? Well, verse 7 tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You see, we don't go to God, or we don't close the gap by causing God to come to us. We don't try to get God to conform to our ways, or to try to get God to conform to our culture or the way that we do things. No, we need to go to God. We need to go to his word. Hey, we don't take God's word and try to change it, to simplify it, to make it more, you know, a book for the common people. No, we need to take the King James Bible, which is God's word, and bring it to the people and help them to understand what the Bible says. Well, you know, the Bible is just so difficult to understand. You know, we need a new King James Version. You know, we need the NIV. We need the ESV. No, you need the King James Bible. We need to bring society to God's word. Not God's word and bring it down to the level of intelligence of the society. Okay? We need to close the gap. And today, the gap between what man thinks is right and what God says is right is becoming broader and broader. The distance is increasing more and more, as high as the heavens are from the earth. This is why biblical Christianity is so radical to some people. Biblical Christianity, people look at biblical Christianity, they look at a church like ours and say, oh, that's a cult. No, it's not that it's a cult. It's just that God's ways are higher than your ways. You know, it's just that God's thoughts are so much different than your way of thinking. That's what it is. Oh, you guys are just a bunch of bigots. No, it's actually God's ways are just different than your ways. They're higher is what it is. It's different. There's a big distance between the two. And what you need to do is close that gap. And one thing you'll notice is that when you're in church for a certain length of time. I'm talking about a hellfire, damnation preaching church. And that gap begins to close. You begin to realize that the things that you thought were not normal are actually normal to God. You begin to realize that the things that you thought were normal are actually an abomination unto the Lord. Why? Because the more you close that gap of your ways, the more you close the gap of your thoughts, and you align them with God's ways and God's thoughts, you realize, hey, God was right this whole time. Amen. This isn't what I thought it was. You know, the culture seeks to broaden that gap. Fake Christians seek to broaden that gap. What we need to do is close it. Bring us to God, right? It's gotten to the point where the ways of the Lord seem evil to society. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. You know, nowadays, it's like if you adhere to the Bible, you believe in the biblical roles within a home, that the husband is the boss, that a wife is supposed to submit to her husband, the children are to be in subjection to their parents, that seems just like crazy. Oh, that's too old-fashioned. That's weird. That's cultish. You guys are bigots. You guys are they just name us everything under the sun. But what it is that it's just biblical Christianity. And the reason you can't understand that is because your ways are so much more different than God's ways, okay? Look at what Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24 says. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. What are they saying? They're saying that because God says this, that's not righteous. That's not right. That's not equal. That's not fair. How are you going to say that these people are false prophets? How are you going to say that these people are reprobates? The way of the Lord is not fair is what they're saying. But what does he say? Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? He says, look, the reason you think I'm not fair is actually because you're not fair. You're unrighteous, you're wicked, and your thoughts are not like my thoughts, okay? Look, how do we relate this to today? Well, put the Bible in the hands of an unsaved person. Talk about the reprobate doctrine. Talk about, you know, the roles in the home to some feminist out there, right? How are they going to react to it? They're going to blow up. You know why? Because the legs of the lame are not equal, and so is a parable in the mouth of fools. That's why. You know, when you put the word of God into the hands of a person who hates God's thoughts and God's ways, to them it's going to be like, well, this is unequal. How can a loving God send people to hell? Right? Isn't that what people say? How can you believe in hell? How can a loving God, you know, this mushy God that they made in their own image, by the way, how can he send people to hell? How can he do this? How can he, you know, say all these things in his word? How can he be against homosexuals? How can he do this and do that? Well, I'll tell you how. This is how. Because the ways of the Lord are equal. That's why. Okay? And the reason you think it's weird, it's because of the fact that as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are your ways than God's ways. Amen. You need to close that gap, okay? And look, here in the book of Isaiah, he's rebuking the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah because of the fact they've gone so far away from God. They forsook the Lord. The Bible says in chapter number 1, from the soul to the head, everything is sick. In other words, from the most average person walking down the street up until the politicians of that day, all crooked, all wicked, and that's why they forsook the Lord. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 32. Oh, you know, how can you say, you know, that Christianity, or how can you say that abortion is wrong? You know, how can you say abortion is right? How can you say murdering an innocent child in the most safest location that a child can be in their mother's womb? How can you say that's a right thing to do? You know why? Because they call evil good and good evil. Yeah. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitterness for sweetness and sweetness for bitterness. That's what the Bible tells us. And in fact, look what Jeremiah 32 verse 35 says. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire into Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. He's saying, look, the thing that you just invented in your minds, this wicked act that you're doing, I didn't even come up with it in my mind. You're crediting this thing to me. It didn't even come into my mind. How many times do we see Christians giving credit to God for things that they invented themselves and not God? Oh, I think God's just leading me to divorce my husband, or God's just leading me to divorce my wife. You know, God is the one who's telling me to do this. You liar. You're a liar. Neither came into my mind, the Bible says. Oh, I think God is leading me to have this abortion and just to start a new life. You're a liar. That didn't come into God's mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And this is what people will say, okay? And I'm not, this is all introduction. I haven't even gotten to my main points here. They'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't judge. You're a Christian. Why are you judging? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Right? You're a Christian. Oh, you're so judgy. You're judging, 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 judging. They just judge, judge, judge. You know, they quote Matthew chapter 7, half of verse 1, and just completely negate the entire chapter. How are you going to call them false prophets? The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Well, first of all, it doesn't say, lest ye be judged. Second of all, read the whole chapter. Jesus Christ is judging people. But they tell you this, you know, you shouldn't judge people. Like, why are you calling them false prophets? That's judging. You don't know their hearts, right? This is the rhetoric that comes from these liberal Christians. You don't know their hearts. They love God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. This is why they say these things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So they think we're foolish. You're so foolish for saying something like that and preaching against the homos and preaching and calling out all these false prophets. This is foolish. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. What gives you the right to judge anybody? Well, verse 15 does. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Amen. Read it. Look down at your Bibles. Judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, why is it that the spiritual man judgeth all things? Look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know why we're able to look at some wicked person like Joel Osteen and say that guy's a false prophet? Because we have the mind of Christ. You know why we're able to call out the false prophets and the false doctrine of today and say this is wicked as hell, this is not of God? You know why? Because we have the mind of Christ, that's why. We have the Bible. How dare you say you have the mind of Christ? He told me, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, and if we have the mind of Christ, we have the spiritual discernment to judge if something is righteous or unrighteous, wicked or just. We have the mind of Christ. You know, go to Ephesians chapter number 5, if you would. It's funny. This is the question I want to ask people. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? These people who say that the way of the Lord is not equal, you know, oh, that's not right, that's not fair that you say that. Who are you to instruct God what is right and what's not right? Shame on you, shame on the person, the arrogant Christian, the fool of a Christian who would dare to try to instruct God in what is moral and what is not. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. You know, and the Bible tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To prove. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got to close that gap. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So the Spirit that dwells in us, what does it mean to judge? It means we're able to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. We're able to hear a doctrine, see a preacher or a pastor, a prophet, an apostle or whatever, and we can prove if this is acceptable unto the Lord or not. Amen. This is what it means to judge all things, to prove these things. Why? Because of the fact that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, yeah, but you ought to keep those opinions to yourself, though. If you don't think it's right, you know, it's right for them. And, you know, you should just not be opinionated like that. You shouldn't call out the names. You know, you can prove it to yourself, but keep it to yourself. If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. These Bambi thumper type Christians, right? But that's not what the Bible says, because we need to keep reading. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So what is it saying? Prove that which is acceptable, and you know what? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but you got to reprove them. Right. What does that mean? Rebuke it. Call it out. Yeah. Make sure people understand what is righteous, what is not, what is acceptable, and what is not. What are we doing? Closing the gap. You know what you're doing every time you come to church? You're closing the gap. You know what you're doing every time you read your Bible? You're closing the gap. What are we doing when we're proving all things, holding fast that which is good? We're closing the gap, because we need to make sure that as Christians, that our thoughts align with God's thoughts. Yeah. We need to make sure that our ways align with God's ways. Well, you know, I know this good Christian, and he says that the new IFB is a cult, and he's not in agreement with you guys. Well, you know what? It's just that he thinks that the ways of the Lord are not equal. But who has instructed the Lord? Can he instruct God on how God's men should preach? Can he instruct God? Can they instruct the Lord on how we are to, you know, expose false prophets and teachers? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Go to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. My goal every single Sunday, every Thursday, is to close the gap between your ways and God's ways. And I don't close the gap by trying to make God look more hip. I don't try to close the gap by trying to make him look cool. We don't close the gap by putting the fog machines here and the laser lights and, you know, the hoochie mamas and the worldly music up here. That's not how you close the gap. That's how you increase the gap. We close the gap by bringing God's people's thoughts and ways to God's thoughts and ways. And look, if it's offensive to you, then it just shows you how far that distance is. Right? If you're like, man, this sounds crazy. Well, hold on a second. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. If it's Bible, then that should show you, okay, you know what? The distance, the gap is pretty broad. The distance is pretty broad. The gap is pretty large, because I'm actually offended at this. Because you know what the Bible says? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Yeah. You know why? Because when we love the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord is not offensive. It's sweet to our taste. It's sweet to us. You know, we delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's how we know that the gap is closing. When you hear something preached, when you read something from your Bible, it resonates with your spirit and you feel fed, amen? Well, when you get offended, well, you know, if it's biblical, it just means that the gap is too broad. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in his ways is an abomination to the wicked. You say, why read this verse? Because we need to understand that there's always going to be a distinction. There's always going to be a line divided. And Christians who think that the ways of the Lord are not equal, these are the same people who want to please everyone. They're the same people who are the Joel Osteen lovers, but they love Rick Warren. You know, they love Rick Warren. They love Kanye West. If Satan got saved, they'd be jumping for joy. These are the same people. These are the same people who probably say, you know, Judas probably got saved. Because God wants to save everyone. I know they call him the son of perdition. But, you know, he probably got saved. Who are you to judge? Right? Do you know his heart? We need to make sure that we know God. Amen? And look, I'm not talking about know God as in know God, you're saved, know God. That's what people like to say, right? We know that we're saved because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about know God, is know him through his word. Know his ways, his thoughts, his doctrine, his precepts. And the Bible tells us this, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You know what God wants us to glory in? The fact that we know God. Because that means we know his judgments. We know his righteousness. He says that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Judgment. Don't judge. Well, it says here that he exercises judgment. And righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, I delight in judging people. I delight in it. Because God delights in it. You lost Eric or what? See, he judged that this was not the place for him to be. And he made his way around to the place where he should be. But God says he delights not just in loving kindness. And thank God that he does, amen? He loves us with an everlasting love, the Bible says. But he also delights in judgment and in righteousness. Okay? So let me give you a couple things here. How do we close the gap between our thoughts and God's thoughts? Because obviously this definitely applies to the main crux of the sermon that I'm referring to, that I'm going to refer to. But just we as Christians, just in general, say people, if we're not careful, the gap can broaden even in our lives. This is why it's important that we stay in church. Why? Because the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Right? It's where we come to know, what does God have to say about a specific topic that's taking place in culture today? What does God have to say about a specific doctrine? What does God have to say about anything? What does he have to say about everything that pertains to life and godliness? Okay? But we're going to apply it in a broader sense. Let me just say this. So how to close the gap between our thoughts and God's thoughts? Well, number one, we need to sensitize ourselves. Okay? Go to Ezekiel chapter number 9. We need to sensitize ourselves. Now, what does it mean to sensitize something? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the word desensitize. What does it mean to desensitize? Well, to desensitize means to lessen the sensitivity of something, right? To make something indifferent. And the world is working 24/7 full time to desensitize us to the things that offend God. Okay? You know, they work full time to vex our righteous souls from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So what does that mean? Well, if you see something long enough, you hear something long enough, eventually, even if it was offensive to you at one point, it will no longer be offensive to you. That's called desensitizing you to it. Okay? You know, that's why the United States of America loves fags. Because of the fact that it's before them so much, they propagate it so much, they tolerate it for so long, they just think it's normal now. Okay? And this goes all across the board for everything. So, in other words, something that used to bother you, and maybe it doesn't anymore, it's because you're desensitized to it. Okay? So, how do we fix that? Well, we need to sensitize ourselves. We need to put the feeling back into our senses, spiritual senses. Okay? Let me give you an example. I remember years ago, I had some dental work, and they gave me some, I think it was Novocaine, in my mouth, like four shots or three or four shots. And I remember my mouth was just numb. It just felt like swollen. But it was great, though, because I couldn't feel anything. You know? I'm like, man, I feel like I'm touching someone else's mouth. And I remember, like, biting down on my lip. I'm like, wow, I can't even feel that. Pinching and everything. You know, I remember, like, after the dental work was done, I came out, and everyone's just, like, staring at me. I'm like, what are they staring at? And then I get to the restroom, and I have, like, drool just coming down. Like, just pools and rivers of living water just flowing out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh, man, this is embarrassing, you know. But little by little, the feeling started coming back, and then I can feel the pain again, okay? Now, here's the thing. You say, well, that's not good. Don't you not want to feel pain? No, pain is good. Because pain is telling you something's wrong, right? You know, it's not good to put your hand over a fire and not feel pain. Like, oh, this is great. No, because then you're going to be lit on fire, and then you're going to die, okay? Pain is there. The senses are there to tell you, hey, you're in danger. Take your hand out of the fire, right? We never want us to grow numb physically, right? But more so than that, you never want to be numb spiritually. You want your senses to be exercised to discern both good and evil, the Bible says. Okay? So we need to sensitize ourselves. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean specifically, we need to feel the way God feels about certain things, about all things. Okay? We need to make sure that we think like God and feel the way He feels. Now, the most basic point would be this. We need to love the way God loves, right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, love that's with dissimulation out there, where churches and Christians claim to love people, but they don't preach the gospel. They don't go out and see people saved. They're not trying to win their families to Christ. They're not trying to win their neighbors to Christ. They're not trying to win anybody to Christ. They just, you know, they honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far from them, from Him, right? We want to make sure that we have the love of Christ. And the love of Christ that constrains us to go out there and preach the gospel and see people saved. You know, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then Jesus, what did He say? He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So we need to make sure that we love the way God loves. But guess what? We need to make sure that we hate the way God hates too. Amen. Look, not at the exclusion of love. Amen. We need to love people. Hey, we need to love the brethren. Do good unto all men, but especially they of the household of faith, the Bible says, right? We need to love the brethren. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Save people, by the way. Okay? Love the lost and give them the gospel. But you know what? We need to make sure that our hatred is in the right place as well. Okay? David talked about the perfect hatred. Now, what is perfect hatred? What does perfect mean? Complete. Well-rounded, right? No, you should just hate the sin and not the sinner. You know, well, look, I love sinners. I just hate false prophets. I hate reprobates. How can you say that? Well, then you need to make sure that your ways and your thoughts align with God's thoughts, because you're saying that God's ways are unequal. And you know what God says in Psalm 5:5? That He hates the workers of iniquity. Explain that to me, Mr. Commentator. Ye that say that the ways of the Lord are not equal, well, then maybe Psalm 5:5 should be blotted out of the Bible, according to you. No, that's biblical. And you say, oh, man, that's too radical. Well, no. Listen, it means the gap is too wide for you. It means that your thoughts are so disattached from biblical doctrine, that's why it feels like it's stepping on your toes. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. And you know what? We need to say the same thing. We need to believe and feel the same way that God feels and believes. Amen. Who's God going to spare when He begins to judge this world? Those who feel the way God feels. Let me prove it to you. Look at Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. So this is a vision that Ezekiel has seen. And these men are going to come and basically wipe out every single man, woman, boy, girl, child, ancient person. Doesn't matter who it is. No one is spared, right? Look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, what's that mark for? So that they don't get harmed. What is he saying? He's saying, those who actually feel the way I feel, spare them. Those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst, I want to spare those people. You know why? Because they feel like I feel. They think the way I think. Their ways are like my ways. Therefore, they shall be spared. Who's not getting spared? The liberal Christian? The Gandhi Christian? This is what this is referring to here. The Bible says in Isaiah 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouths and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of God? No, by the precept of man. You see, today, pulpits of America are filled with so much positivity that if you were to mention anything negative, it's just like, well, that's not very Christ-like, man. I mean, you quote Jesus as like, hey, that's not like Jesus, man. You quote what Jesus is saying. You quote the scriptures where Jesus is the one speaking, and they literally will tell you, hey, that's not very Christ-like. What? But you know, here's the thing. It's not according to their Christ. Because their rock is not as our rock, amen? They're talking about a different Jesus. They're talking about the faggoty Caesar Borgia Jesus. You know, the Caucasian 6'2", Pantene Pro-V haired, dress-wearing Christ. That's what they're talking about. That's who they're referring to. Not the Jesus of the Bible. You can't even quote Jesus without people getting mad about that and say, hey, man, that's not like Christ. They're the kind of people who tell Christ that he's not like Christ. He's going to come. You know, the day of the Lord is going to come. All this judgment is going to come. They're like, hey, you're not being like Jesus, Jesus. You know why? Because they created a God in their own image. That's why. It's not the God of the Bible. Okay. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm going to read to you a couple verses here. Well, what am I saying here? You know, we need to sensitize ourselves. We need to make sure that we're constantly making sure that we are feeling the way God feels regarding certain things, you know? Amen. Things that are abominable to God should be abominable to us. Amen. But we ought not to tolerate those things. Sodomy is an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. And if God proclaimed that throughout his word, this shouldn't be something that we preach only like once a year. Right? This should be something that we consistently talk about throughout the year. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of hearing it. You know why? Because the gap is too big. Oh, you talk about that so much. No, it's just the gap between your ways and God's ways is too broad. That's why. When you feel like you've reached too much of some doctrine, it's because the gap is too wide. That's what it is. Okay? The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 45, verse 3 says, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory and with thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Can't you just stick to the book of John and the book of Proverbs? No. We need to learn about the terrible things. There's a lot of terrible things in the Bible. Gory, terrible, judgmental things. You know what? God is not your type of author where there's always like a happy ending at the end of every book. You'll find out in Jonah chapter 4 how God sometimes just ends a book. No happy ending. It's just he ends it with a rebuke and then you just go on to the next book. Because that's life. What is that? That's the terrible things. Hey, the terrible things is in Genesis 19. Right? Where he wreaks terror on a city by destroying it, decimating it. Terrible things is the book of Revelation. Terrible things is 2 Peter chapter number 2. Terrible things is the book of Jude. Terrible things is throughout the Bible. Look, terrible things. If you don't like hearing about terrible things, you need to just completely avoid the Bible, just period. But more specific, sometimes you just need to avoid the Old Testament, period. Every single major prophet and minor prophet, all negative sermons. All negative. Why do you think I'm in a bad mood? I've been reading through the major prophets this week. I read through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and I'm just like, oh, man. But you know what? The book of Jeremiah, completely negative. Isaiah, negative. Now, look, are there positives? Yes, but the positive is God reminding his people regarding the millennial reign. Amen. Amen. But guess what? You can't appreciate the coming millennial reign without understanding how wicked and dark it is now. And Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah are like newspapers of today. It's what's going on today in our nation. There's nothing new under the sun. These are the terrible things that we need to learn about. And if God has set forth within his word terrible things and he says he's going to teach it to us, we need to learn it to close the gap. Okay? Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Look what it says. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Oh, you shouldn't be afraid of God. That's terrible to say, you know, fear. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. The Bible says here, unite my heart to fear your name. What is that? Close that gap.
if I'm not fearing you, help me to unite my heart that's fearless towards God and to draw closer to the Lord to fear him more. Why? Because when men fear the Lord, what happens? They depart from evil, the Bible says. Okay? So number one, we need to make sure that we sensitize ourselves. We need to make sure that we put the feeling back in Christianity and we feel the way God feels regarding certain things. All things. But number two, and here's like my main point here is this. We need to separate from fake Christians. Yeah. Fake Christians and fake churches. The Bible calls them false brethren. These so-called Christians who name the name of Christ, but they're not saved. They teach a perverted way of the Lord. And they're there to basically mix the seed between real Christians and non-Christians. Trying to get us to tolerate popular Christianity today. Nothing perpetuates the broadening of the gap between God's thoughts and our thoughts than apostate Christians. They do the best job doing that, okay? Look at Jeremiah 2, verse 8. And I'm talking about liberal churches, okay? And when we say liberal, we don't mean generous churches. We mean, when we say liberal, we're saying churches that are just not biblical at all. They teach a false gospel, primarily that you have to repent of your sins to be saved, which is a false gospel. Yeah. It's works-based salvation. It's the devil's gospel. Yeah. To repent of your sins. They use a different version other than the King James Version. An unequal Bible. And they have unequal ways. Who's their authority? Not the Bible. Who's their authority? Pop culture. The false prophet who's the most popular at that time is their authority. Look at verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. I mean, think about that. How many Christians go to church with their NIV Bible, but they don't know God? They think it's the law of God. They think it's the word of God. They bring their Bibles, but they don't even know the Lord. The pastors also transgress against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit. Go to chapter number 6. So in those days, the priest, the pastor, and the prophet, all wicked people. Yep. Didn't know the law of God, didn't know the word of God, claimed to have, did not know it. Look at Jeremiah 6, verse 13. From the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Man, that's true today. Yeah, right. Joel Osteen with his mansion or his football stadium church. Making millions of dollars, making merchandise off the flock of God. Look, don't come up to me and tell me that you're a fan of Joel Osteen. I'll rebuke you for that. That guy is a wolf in wolf's clothing. That guy is wicked. He's the devil's pawn. He's not saved. And he's given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, deceitfully, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So what's the message of these false prophets? The message is this. Hey, don't worry. God's not mad at you. Joyce Myers, right? God's not angry with you. God loves you. He loves, hey, you know, you're involved in fornication. We're all sinners. Hey, you're a sodomite. You're involved in the filth of perversion called sodomy. Don't worry, God still loves you. He made you that way. Well, that's only a half truth. Because he didn't make them reprobates. Saying peace, peace when there is no peace. God does not want us to bring a message of peace thundering from the pulpits. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, and that means peace, but that's to the people who are not saved. But after that, guess what? There is no peace. Amen. After that, we're going to war. Right? We reconcile a sinner back into God through Jesus Christ, but after they're reconciled, what are we supposed to do now? Get into the war. It's time to fight. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. He goes, because you're not ashamed of the abominations done in the midst, you're going to be the first to fall. God, you're not being very Christ-like. You know, the God of the Bible is not very Christ-like, according to them. Go to Jeremiah 23. We're going to read a lot of verses here in Jeremiah 23 because I want to read it. I read it this week and I was just like, man, this is just like, this doesn't even need explanation. It's so good. But it's an entire chapter dedicated to false prophets. Look what it says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 23. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be upon them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. I have seen falling the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of the evildoers. Isn't this true today? Where you have, you know, Hillsong pastors strengthening the hand of Justin Bieber, that queer little sissy faggot. I mentioned Justin Bieber a couple weeks ago, and they're like, shame on you for picking on Justin Bieber. Shame on you for defending such a faggoty-looking guy. Shame on any guy who's a Christian who would be listening to that faggoty music. You're strengthening the hand of the queer doer. Then none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me a Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. You know what? He sees Justin Bieber's like a bunch of fags is what they are. A bunch of sodomites. That's what he's saying. Sodom and Gomorrah is referring to homos. He says they're all unto me like a bunch of sodomites, homos, perverts, transvestites, these dogs. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. You know, the pastor of Hillsong, Greg Locke. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood. Oh. He's like, I'm going to feed you with bitterness. This is God saying, did I write the Bible? I'm just reading it. And make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profane is gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. He said, don't listen to them. They're not giving you the word of God. They're giving you a vision out of their own hearts. You know, they tell people not to listen to us. But how do you tell which one's the right prophet and which one's the false prophet? Well, what is the difference between the chaff and the wheat? The chaff is the one that burns up. It says different from a hammer that breaks into the rock in pieces, the Bible says in Jeremiah. But here he says, look, they're making you vain. Look at verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord had said, ye shall have peace. So what's their message? They go to people who hate God and say, don't worry, you'll have peace. The sodomite, oh, just repent from the sodomy. You'll have peace. This is a wicked sermon. Ye shall have peace, and they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Hey, just follow your heart. Disney, follow your heart. No evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return. Oh, man. What is he saying? Once I let these dogs loose, they have no name, so I can't call them back. That's what he's saying. Once the fury has gone forth, it's not coming back. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, God was really mad about this. Ah, this was an abomination unto the Lord, I guess. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. He says, look, this is how you can know that it's a prophet of the Lord. Are the people getting right with God? Right? Are they turning from their wicked ways? Has the wicked man changed his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts and returning to the Lord? If not, if they're still involved in fornication, if they're still a bunch of drunkards, if they're still involved in the most abominable wicked thing, guess what? They haven't changed. And these aren't real prophets, because real preaching changes lives. Real preaching, hard preaching, changes the hearts of God's people. That's what it does. This kind of preaching yields money. Right? Verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I see, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. This is talking about the charismatic apostles of today, right? Yeah. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophets that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Now, today, prophets, false prophets, don't just come into church houses anymore. Now they're part of the music industry. You know, and one of the most famous false prophets of today is Kanye West. This wicked, abominable, false prophet, antichrist rapper by the name of Kanye West. 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon called Spotted by the World, and he wasn't even like the main crux of my sermon. I just like chased that rabbit, shot it, killed it, hung it, skinned it, and went on with the rest of the sermon. I posted that clip, and the backlash that clip received from these stupid apostate Christians was ridiculous. People were so mad at what I said, because I call him a reprobate, which, by the way, I don't take back. A false prophet, which I don't take back. I say he's not saved, which is true. Everything I said in there was true. I'm glad that they got mad at that, because it's just confirming that, hey, the preaching is fire and it's a hammer. But people are just so mad right now because of the fact that we're saying that this guy is a wicked, false prophet. He's a reprobate. He claimed to be God. Think about that. Well, you know, we need to pray for him. Oh, I pray for him. Yeah. We do the imprecatory prayers for him. That he melts like a snail. Well, we need to pray for him. Yeah, he said he was God before, but he, you know, he needs to grow. Well, that's funny, because he's still claiming to be God even now. He still calls himself Jesus, right? Claiming to be Jesus Christ. He's a blasphemer. He's a devil. And he's given over to covetousness. But then you have all these apostate, lame, weenie Christians. Oh, we got Kanye West. Oh, yeah. We got Kanye West. God's going to use him in such a great way. Yeah, he's going to use him to collect all the trash. That's what he's going to do. What do you mean by that? You. He's collecting you. He's the bus ministry for you. He's coming to pick you up. That's what he's there for. So yeah, you're right. God is using him. You say, why are you getting on Kanye West? You know, just leave that up. Because he's leading people astray. That's what he's doing. And he's perverting the name of God. That's what he's doing. He's a blasphemer. And look, why get mad at this? Because I want to feel the way God feels about this. That's why. Why are you so mad? Because God's mad. That's why. Why are you calling him that? Why are you calling him an abomination? Because God calls him an abomination. God didn't call him an abomination. He said that the person who is esteemed among men, which Kanye West is esteemed amongst Christians right now, is an abomination in the eyes of God. He's going to be the fuel for the fire in hell. Oh, I don't like when you say that. Close the gap. Close the gap. Close the gap. You need to close the gap. That's what it is. And I don't mean like shut your mouth or anything. I mean the gap between your thoughts. Well, although sometimes that applies. No, I'm just kidding. Let me read to you from Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination unto the Lord. So the Christian who says that Kanye West is just, and that same Christian who condemns the just, God says that person is an abomination in the eyes of God. Proverbs 28:4 says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Kanye! Why are they doing that? Because they forsaken the law. But such as keep the law, contend with them. So God says, look, if someone forsakes the law, mark it down, they're going to be praising the wicked. But whoever keeps the law, they're getting down with the wicked. They're fighting, they're battling, they're going to war with the wicked. Let me read this to you, okay? Because I preached a sermon like 2 weeks ago, but then I put a clip last week, and it's just messages and on social media condemning me. I can't believe you said this. You don't know it's hard. You know, you're so judgmental. F you. Yeah. They're like, F you. You don't know it's hard. Only God knows it's hard. Oh, it's funny how you put F you with God right there. It's like, right? Cussing me out through messages. But then I got this email. And I was like, man, thank God that this person decided to write this email, because I needed some content for the sermon. You know? I needed some content for this, and I was just like, wow, this is like perfect for when I'm preaching right here. And I had already written my sermon out before I even found out about this. And then my wife told me, she was like, hey, someone emailed you. You need to check your emails. You know, and I was, she's like condemning you for condemming Kanye West and all that stuff. I was just like, say no more. I went on there. I was like, oh, this is just too perfect. Her name is Sherry Wilson. Yeah, her, right? And this is what the subject title says. God does not save anybody unless you approve, with a snap face. Good day. I just watched your video on Kanye. That is the most judgmental preaching I have ever seen or heard. Amen. Now, she meant it unto evil, but I think that's good. Like, I took that as a compliment. I feel like even bad, like, thanks. Because the spiritual judgeth all things, right? I read that, I'm like, you know, you blush a little bit. Stop it. Stop. They think this is like criticizing me, you know? I'm going to read that again, okay? That is the most judgmental preaching I have ever seen or heard. That means she watched the video, amen? What a world we live in when Christians are not excited to see people get saved. And by the way, I agree with that. You know, she's right about that. But I mean, that's here we get excited about people getting saved. We get so excited about people getting saved that we mark the numbers down. We try to keep track of all the salvations. We baptize our converts. Amen. And if you don't believe that, you need to follow us on social media. That we're like baptizing every week, you know. Baptizing the converts. You know, we go out and preach the gospel. We take missions trips. We take trips to Lompoc and Santa Maria. We invest hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars to go far and wide, to go see people saved. And when they get saved, we rejoice together. Amen. We get excited about people getting saved. You know, last Sunday, DJ's like, she's like, most of her family's like saved now. Her dad got saved last week. That made me happy. Like, I went home, I'm like, man, that's great. Because I know that's a burden when your family members are not saved. So I rejoice with that. So she's right. Yeah. What a world we live in when Christians are not excited to see people get saved. No wonder people stay away from church. I thought God can save the worst of sinners. Didn't his son Jesus die for sinners no matter who they are? Or can change people for the better? And in parentheses, she's going to put where she got that from. Okay. And let me just let you know, no book, chapter, verse. So let me read that again, just to let you know. Didn't his son Jesus die for sinners no matter what they are, who they are? Or can change people for the better? Heard that from Kanye. Oh. So it's not like, learn that from the Bible. Or got that from, you know, John 3, verse 16. John 3, 36. You know, Romans 5, 8. No, got that from Kanye. Well, shut my mouth. But look what it says. So keep that in mind. Look, by the way, when people, it's good when people write things out like this, because you do like a statement analysis, and you see what they really mean. Because she says, heard that from Kanye, but according to your doctrine. Because everything I said in that sermon was from the Bible. So in other words, what she's saying, according to God's ways, according to God's thoughts, but according to your doctrine, God cannot save or change Kanye's heart. Now, God did change Kanye's heart. So I never said that he didn't change his heart. The Bible just says that he darkened it. He blinded his heart that he should not believe. Okay? So I didn't say God didn't change his heart. Absolutely, he changed it. He gave him a reprobate mind. God did that. God hardened his heart, darkened it, and blinded him so he can be a reprobate. So, Sherry, I don't agree with this. I didn't say that, Sherry. Because I believe that God changed his heart. Gave him the heart of a beast. She says this, you even mentioned Justin Bieber. Do you know their heart? Well, look, let me just help you with determining who Justin Bieber is. If it looks like a fag, talks like a fag, it's probably a fag. He's close. Justin Bieber is a queer. Amen. Who needs to make money off of Christians. That's why he even supposedly converted. And then she says this, do you know their heart? I hear that all the time from liberal Christians. You don't know their heart. Do you know their heart? The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Yeah, you know what he says about the heart? That is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yeah. There you go. The Bible says, ye are they which justify yourselves before man, but God knoweth the hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. Do you think that because God's the only one who can look on the heart, it just means that God only knows or he sees all the goodness in their heart? No, he sees the wickedness of their heart. He sees the evil and the abominable things in their heart. That's what that means. And look, this whole verse about God looking on the outward, or we look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. People want to use that as a means to not judge people. But that says nothing about that. The way we judge is by the outward appearance. Yep. How do I know if I'm looking at a man, if it looks like a man? Yep. How do I know if I'm looking at a woman, if she looks like a woman? So if I say, Ms. Franceschini, hey, you're a woman, are you going to be like, hey, you don't know my heart? Don't judge me like that. Now, obviously, in this trans fluid garbage that's going on today, you can't tell what it is. It's it. God can do anything he wants to do. And if he chose to save and use Kanye, who are you to judge? Spiritual. You need to pray for him. I do. And his soul. I do. If you truly believe he is not saved instead of spewing so much unbelief. I heard more about God from Kanye than you. My sheep hear my voice, right? How do you know that I come from God? How do you know that I'm a pastor who's filled with the Spirit if I'm giving you the Word of God? That's how you know. Kanye does not give the Word of God. He spews out blasphemy. But she's learned more from God, more about God from Kanye than me. I'm sorry. All I heard from you was Kanye is this and Kanye is that. Yes, Kanye did say he was a god. But if you watch one of his Sunday services, he said he was wrong, as that there is only one true and living God. Yeah, and he's still talking about himself. Why don't you ask him, Sherry, why he's still calling himself Jesus? Why don't you ask him why he's still claiming deity? It was through God that he got his mind back. He also said, oh, this is funny. He also said the devil had him, but God delivered him. Well, you're right. He delivered him into the hand of Satan that he may learn not to blaspheme. That's what the Bible says. They're given over to Satan, right, for the destruction of the flesh, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He also said the devil had him, but God delivered him. But I am sure you've never been to one of his services, so I see why you are stuck in the past. Yeah, I wouldn't send a dog to his service. I wouldn't send a rabies-filled dog to one of Kanye West's church services. I also find it ironic that you say he made the album to get money from the Christians, yet one of the first things that I noticed on your webpage is a donation button. And also on your YouTube channel, a link to PayPal. Oh yeah, because I'm making like millions of dollars off of my sermons here. You know, don't judge. At home, I got myself a Bentley, Versace suits. I got the diamond grill. I'm bling blinging. Yeah, don't let this fool you. I guess if I were judging like you, I would think you only want to get money from Christians too. Thank God your church is not the only one on earth, because I would be afraid to come to give my life to Jesus in fear of your judgment. Good. Yeah, I'm glad that I instilled that fear in your heart to ever step foot in my church. I'm glad that I put the fear of God in your heart, because you're afraid if you come to my church, then I'm going to judge you, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. Amen. You got that right, Sherry. Sincerely. Now, when people put sincerely, they put comma, and then they put their name. Sincerely, learned more about God from Kanye than you. By the way, no Bible verses, no book chapter and verses. You know why? Because the gap is so broad between God and Sherry. It's as broad as heaven is from hell. And let me tell you where God is. He's in heaven. Let me tell you where Sherry is going. She's going to hell. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, you know what? Sherry should have thought twice. Sherry should have thought twice before supporting and strengthening the hand of the evildoers. Let me say this. Anybody in our church who listens to Kanye, you're not right with God.
Yep. Right.
Who listens to his music, you leave the church parking lot, you start bumping him in your car. Jesus walks. You're strengthening the hand of the wicked. And I don't think anybody's stupid here, because you're an idiot if you still listen to Kanye.
Amen.
After all the nonsense that he's pulled, and you're a Bible believer, you're saved, and you're still listening to that guy, I don't think there's anybody here who does. But you know what? If there was someone, they're not doing it anymore, I guarantee you. They're just like, I'm never going to listen to him again. He's a devil. And what Kanye has done is he made that gap a little bigger, did he not? Because there's something is said when someone who's famous names the name of Christ, that apostate Christians or just people in general just flock to him because he has a lot of influence. But you know what? I'm not looking to close the gap between the world and God. I'm just looking to close the gap here. I'm looking to close the gap while I'm out preaching the gospel. And maybe some on the internet, yeah, that's great. But I'm not trying to get Kanye closer to God. Kanye shall be destroyed from the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. And my last point, just go to Ezekiel 22. Talk about closing the gap, okay? How do we close the gap? We need to sensitize ourselves and be sensitive to the things that God hates, to the things that he loves. To be compassionate as God is compassionate, but also have that hatred that he has as well. Yeah. Wrath is found throughout the Bible. There's a reason why. Maybe we should adhere to that and learn why God is so mad about certain things and align our emotions and our way of thinking to God's ways. We need to sensitize ourselves. But not only that, we need to separate from fake Christians who actually broaden the gap for us. Okay, this nonsensical churches that are out there who think that someone like Kanye West is safe. But number three, here's the last point, is this. We need to stand in the gap. How do we close the gap? We need to stand right in the middle of it. Okay? And bridge the gap between God and man. We need to bring man to where God is. Right? Look what the Bible says. We'll skip down to verse number 28. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. He's like, I'm looking for someone to just make up that hedge, to stand in the gap, to close the gap. I can't find anybody. Well, you know what? Today in 2019, there's plenty of people who can stand in the gap. And we want to be the kind of Christians that say, you know what? This might be radical to some, offensive to others, but let's make up the hedge. Let's bring man to where God is and not the other way around. Okay? What's the sermon today? It's simply this. Closing the gap. Making sure that we think the way God thinks, that we do things his way, and not try to do it our own way. And not allow people like Kanye West, to determine who God is. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you for the prophets of old. I'm encouraged by Isaiah. I'm encouraged by Jeremiah. These men who are hated by their own countrymen. And we could relate to people like that because even today, people hate us. And Lord, I pray that you would use Kanye West to collect all the trash and all the wicked people who are perverting your word unto him. And Lord, may you destroy him because he's a wicked man. He's done so much damage to the cause of Christ. But I pray, God, that you'd help us as your people to not give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Help us to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, and to always make sure that on our daily lives that we're closing the gap between our thoughts and your thoughts, your ways and ours. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.